You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome. We are walking today on Dr. Michelle Live, and I am your host, Dr. Michelle. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. We are on Breadbox Media. You can log on breadboxmedia.com. You can also access previous podcasts or archives by logging on to breadboxmedia.podbean.com. You can also email me anytime, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. So today is yet another day. And I'm saying that actually with all happiness and joy. It sounds like I was lamenting it. I'm not lamenting it. But I would also ask you now for all your prayers for my father who got pneumonia, and he's very elderly, but he's rallying, so I'm all happy now, but it was a little touch and go. So, God works in mysterious ways. There's like little wake-up calls and flags that happen all the time around us, and it's our choice whether we choose to accept them. And oftentimes, I seem to be in this kind of weird pattern where I get all these wake-up calls and these red flags and these good flags and these spiritual awakenings and these messages and just all kinds of evidence around me of just the presence of God and the presence of health and the presence of an order to things, no matter how messed up your life has been, for people outside of me, people inside my family, people, me. And yet, I can at once be in complete awe and wonder and go, wow, yeah, isn't that timing awesome? And then completely forget it like in 3 minutes. So I would like to enlist us to try to not so much hold on to those experiences, but to hold on to the understanding and the openness. Let's put it that way. Get it out of our brain, into our heart, soul, mind, and body to be open to these nudgings, to the circumstances. So what happened was because of what I call a comedy of errors, however, they're not very funny, but one little misstep happens and another little misstep happens, and pretty soon I have a father who probably should have been attended to a while back. As far as the pneumonia goes, he lives in a different state than I do. And usually they're all pretty good, but that's always the way things happen, isn't it? Sometimes you don't have an accident until an accident happens, obviously. So when you are least aware of it, when you're least looking, when one person steps out of the room, another person walks in the room, you leave yourself open, of course, for all kinds of vulnerabilities and accidents and things like that. So here's about a week of one little misstep where they usually call if he's, quote, not himself, unquote, or they usually will call in this particular nurse practitioner, or they usually will be concerned if he's not doing his exercises or things like that. There's all these little stop gaps that have happened along the way that I always get a call about. But for some reason this week, everyone just kind of misstepped just a little bit. And then that piled up. And then we ended up with my father in the hospital. So what actually was able to occur, though, is it was yet another reminder about priorities in life. It was also another reminder about my particular thing about procrastination. That procrastination, which is something that I'm so familiar with, procrastination leaves you to say, well, I'll do that in a minute. Well, sometimes in that minute, you get the phone call and you may have to leave everything in that minute and get on a plane. And if you're not ready, my case in point was my dog Mozart. So he's a big old German Shepherd, as you all know. He also had not been quite feeling quite well. He had a little intestinal bug. Took him to the vet. We got that cleared up. And I got a little notice that his vaccinations were due. But we wanted to kind of wait until he was feeling better. Like, it's always a good thing to do. You don't want to pile too much on an immune system that's a little bit compromised from being sick. So we waited. And then maybe I waited and I thought, well, you know, I'll do it next week. And then he started feeling a little under the weather. Again, we have a heat wave. And he's been around some blue. It's also been very humid. So a lot of the plants are in bloom and there's some molds going on. And it could have been allergies, could have not. So I took him to the vet. And probably allergies, so no vaccines yet. And then I get this call. Well, I can't leave him here if I had to jump on a plane unless his vaccines are current. So just even the not taking advantage of a small window of time in which to get his vaccinations kind of led to perhaps a stumbling block if I needed to just jump out the door, get on a plane, and go see my father. However, God is amazing. So likewise, as this is all playing out and I am trying to think, okay, what's my alternative? If I have to go today, what's my alternative? So I'm calling different people I know. And it was very cool because I ended up finding all kinds of great options and alternatives and information regarding places that I can take Mozart, people who are willing to help with Mozart, also a great reference to someone who's great at training. So all this stuff was happening around this whole calamity. In the meantime, as really dire that my dad's condition seemed in the first few hours, I was on my way to get on a plane. I thought, you know, I need to contact someone there. I need to contact a priest. And I had just 2 days beforehand, for a completely different matter, out of the blue, I got a text with a priest that I used to know where he is. And I thought, oh, I'm gonna contact him. So I contacted this priest, texted and said, you know, my dad doesn't really have a parish. He's not really from there. And he's been living there for a couple years. And, you know, would you go and anoint him? And really, it was like the first step. And he said, yes. And I know where he's located and where my father was located. So he said, yes. And we waited till the next day. And he anointed him. And by the time I called, the nurse was astounded that he was doing so much better, that where it took him 10 minutes to take a couple pills with a little water the night before, and she said the words, 10 minutes, it took him 10 minutes. He was so weak that she walked in and said something like, is there anything I can do for you? He's just said, food. I need food. So he ate, and he ate about 75% of what was given him. That's a huge change around for someone who couldn't even swallow pills the night before. So this was a beautiful and amazing thing. And then as the day went on, I got report from my son that he looked 10 times better. And that's a huge amount for someone who's extremely elderly. So all this to say is that in every opportunity, even when we're feeling sad, even when we're feeling confused, even when, you know, you don't know, do I go now? Do I not go now? And you're thinking about things from childhood and you don't want to lose him. And it's just so many things go through your head when you're faced with these situations. Also, at the exact same time comes opportunity for all kinds of things. It was a smorgasbord, a Walmart of different mental, emotional, and personal opportunity, all the way from revisiting my tendency to procrastinate certain things, along with finding out not only did I get my dog vaccinated in time, I also found out that he was chipped, which I didn't know. Found out all kinds of stuff. I mean, just boom, 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 where I probably just wouldn't have even thought about those things again had they crossed my mind. So there's so many things, so many opportunities. Each item is a wealth of, it's a diamond mine of opportunities to sit back once the dust has settled and examine yourself. It's like an examination of conscience, but it is an examination of your life, you, examination of self. And with that, of course, is your conscience about the little things that you kind of beat yourself up over, or the things that you could have done, should have done, and you have an opportunity. I won't always have those opportunities. But when things like this happen and you're given the opportunities, it's about seizing the moment. So we're going to talk about seizing the moment when we get back from the break. We're going to also look at a couple things Pope Francis said, that even though it's taken from one of his talks, it talks to us about the violence that can happen with words. So we want to talk about that a little bit too, maybe throw in a little Francis de Sales along with that. And today will be a day of Francis. We're going to talk about some other things too, about you in your relationship. So this is Dr. Michelle. We will see you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you're with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4. You can email me, DM live, breadboxmedia.com, breadboxmedia.com, in case I slurred over that just a tad. You can also log on and get our previous podcast by logging onto breadboxmedia.podbean.com. We are Breadbox Media, really growing. It's pretty exciting. Okay, so now that we are talking about those opportunities that come up with everything, the blessings, right along with the blessings, you know, and it's also true that that little saying is that you know who your friends are in times of crisis. You know who keeps that hand going. Now, not everybody who is really a good friend will be able to be there all the time, every time you need it, right? So we don't want to just say, well, one person dropped the ball, or I dropped the ball, or somebody else dropped the ball, and therefore they're not really good friends. We don't want to go there. We want to look and say, though, that when you are walking hand in hand, it's a very easy thing to say, I'm your friend, we'll always be friends, or I love you, and I will always be there for you. It's like it takes an actual act of will to live that. Husbands and wives, you know this. You know this. In the early days or during times when things are good, I love you, I will always love you. I can't imagine ever being with anyone else. I love you. Years go by, maybe not so many years go by. all kinds of stories all around the board. There are some people who start out with that being a forked tongue, that being a lie off their tongue. And that's hard to take, isn't it? I know it is. Very hard to take. It's very hard to get your mind around, to believe. Some people are involved in more cruel shocks than others. But when it comes down to it, it's still a huge gaping wound. It's still a harsh loss if it's a loved one especially. And it's still hard with friends, because betrayal by your friends, or having them be so understanding one minute, but then when it really requires a deep patience and understanding the next minute, they can't do it. And that's always a hard one. But I think we need to look at the fact that we are all on a journey, all of us, and each one of us will take turns being that friend, being the friend that is either there and lives by will and stays there, or that friend that just doesn't get it at the moment or is too preoccupied at the moment. I've done things like that in my own life, where in some respects, because of what's going on in my life, I just wasn't able to be there. I wasn't there. And sometimes you have to make those choices. And I know that most of you would feel that, of course, if something was life-threatening and it was happening to your friend, that would shoot to the top of a priority list, right? So it's all within this bell curve. It's all within this, what is normal? What makes sense? We can go, we can pray, we can look, but when it comes down to boots on the ground, we have to do some practical things. Well, part of that practical thing, like anything else, is exercise. So how do you exercise your relationships? You exercise your relationships by being present in the little things, by watching yourself in the little things. It doesn't mean schooling yourself in the little things. It doesn't mean beating yourself up in the little things. It means watching yourself. Who are you? Ask yourself who you are. Be your own anthropologist, as we have talked about before. That's really important stuff to do. So I want to go and talk a little bit about you and me. But where do we stand with ourselves? So often we really are very adept at having reasons why we can say things that something inside of us tells us we're not supposed to say. So I was reading this article today, Pope Francis, and it was from Crux. It's the Catholic, Taking the Catholic Pulse. And this was, Pope Francis denies that Islam is violent. So it's an article. It was written yesterday. Today's August 1st. Happy August 1st, by the way. And it was written just yesterday. And he was pretty much, it was after he was coming back from World Youth Day. He was talking about how we have to think about people. In fact, I think this was also on the heels of Muslims joining Catholics at mass across France to show solidarity for what had happened in France. So, all right. So getting back to our particular neck of the woods here and how this fit into things that I was thinking about to talk about today, to share with you and to explore with you, as he's talking about the need to avoid the term Islamic violence, to avoid the catch phrase, let's say, or the catch-all enculturated feeling that is Islam is synonymous with violence. Pope Francis was really strong against that. So he says, when he talks about, he said, the Pope said that when he reads the newspaper, he reads about an Italian who kills his fiance or his mother-in-law. And then he says, they are baptized Catholics. They are violent Catholics. Francis said, adding that if he speaks of Islamic violence, then he has to speak of Catholic violence too. The Pope made his remarks in a wide-ranging news conference with journalists traveling with him back to Rome after a five-day visit to Poland, in which Francis presided over World Youth Day, a gathering of Catholic youth from around the world in Krakow, Poland. The Pope said that in every religion there are violent people, a small group of fundamentalists, including in Catholicism. And then he says, when fundamentalism goes as far as murdering, and then he adds, you can murder with your tongue and also with a knife, he said. And then he went on to talk about this violence, referring to Islam as violence all the time. But that caught me. You can murder with your tongue and also with a knife. Now, who does that sound like? Sounds like St. Francis de Sales, and of course, many other people and philosophers throughout time who've said pretty much the same thing. But I think it's important. If we go to the Oblates of St. Francis de Sales, St. Francis de Sales, in his book, The Devout Life, wrote an awful lot about gossiping, slander, what you can do with your tongue. And you know, I don't know for sure, but I would like to, and maybe I will now, I would like to look a little bit into St. Francis de Sales' life. If I could be, you know, Star Trek and do that stardate and just get that computer and say stardate and go back to St. Francis de Sales when he was around to see what he saw, what he heard. How was that present in his own life? Did it happen in his family? Was he the victim of slander or gossip? What did he see happen, maybe to a sister or a mother or whatever? So in the Oblates of St. Francis de Sales from the Wilmington, Philadelphia province, there's an article called there's actually a column called Pillars of Gentle Strength. And this particular one in the spirituality, you know, I'm looking here. I was trying to find a date. Didn't get the date here. This particular article in the spirituality section says gossip and slander. And they write, unlike other types of activities, gossip and slander are games that everyone can play with devastating effect. Why do we do it? Depends on who you talk to or about. Generally, our need to tear down others is usually rooted in our need to build up ourselves at others' expense. Make no mistake about it, whether on the phone, by the coffee machine, at the laundromat, or in the church parking lot, gossip and slander are not harmless entertainments. They are games with deadly consequences. And then they go on to quote St. Francis de Sales, which I'm going to quote a little bit of that on the other side of the break, because this is a really important thing. You know, I've gone here before in many different ways, many different venues, because there is no lack of creative ways in which people can tear down someone else. And what you are actually doing when you do that, even the most God-fearing, pious person can still do it. St. Francis de Sales warns against that, especially under the cloak of praying for them as a reason to gossip or slander them. So I want to begin on the other side of the break a prelude with St. Francis de Sales, a few things and he also gives you some tips on how to curb this habit. Dr. Michelle, I'll see you on the other side of the room.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you're with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4. Now, we're talking about the ethereal, and we're talking about, saints, and it seems a little remote. Oh, yes, of course, one of the saints said, don't gossip, and yes, the Pope is going to say, you know, the tongue is mightier than the sword in both realms, and we have all these cliches that came from religious and non-religious backgrounds to let us know that you can do more harm with the tongue than anything, because you can, we know this with our bullying. We know this with people and children who end up committing suicide because the tongue through the internet has just taken their essence and just sucked the life out of them, harmed them. And there's actually not one person put a finger to them. So we need to really take this seriously. We have so many, there's no dearth of information out there, no dearth of sayings and admonishments and warnings. This is all really, really true. And yet we tend to do it in so many different ways. We talk about the humble brag, which is something that is fairly recent. It's a little passe now, but fairly recent idea that was the word was thought up by a comedian. And that humble brag is basically a way that you can, that celebrities found in their tweets and their Instagram messages to be able to feign discomfort or inconvenience or poverty or feign some kind of hardship, and really finding that as a doorway and a way to showcase how lucky, privileged, awesome, cute, funny, rich they were, such as having the how rushed and stressed they were because their chauffeur didn't show up on time. And basically the take-home message is, I have a chauffeur and you don't. So often, as we read at this from the Oblates of St. Francis de Sales, yes, we know that. We could probably recite that. But how many of us really take to heart that it really is a thing about us feeling insecure about ourselves when we need to bring someone else down or display their shortcomings, display their tragedies. Now, I also want to add another dimension to that. Part of that dimension may be that we want to build ourselves up. That can be another aspect or perspective to look at, is that it helps keep us distance from. Oftentimes, people who say the worst things about someone, it's really a projection. And the projection of their own fears, it keeps an arm's distance away. So that if they're able to attribute blame, or they're able to attribute to another person that they somehow caused their misfortune, let's say, whatever it is, and especially if you talk about people gossiping about, you know, the couple next door, it keeps it almost like a false way of keeping yourself an arm's distance from anything befalling you that way. It's almost if you self-righteously exclaim that so-and-so is having an affair, that keeps it from your doorstep. And of course, we all know it doesn't. And if you were to ask the person doing the gossiping, they wouldn't think it keeps it from their doorstep. But it's almost an automatic response. And a lot of times it's out of that fear and insecurity. But St. Francis de Sales is not so kind. He talks very bluntly about this, especially in the devout life. So, and the Oblates, when they said, this is a game with deadly consequences. And I find that very interesting because, and actually very real, because we really don't think of it as a game, do we? Especially when it's done in all sincerity, it's done at a prayer group, it's done after church, as they said, in the church parking lots. It's done with a feigned sense of sincerity or caring. but the damage gets done. So St. Francis de Sales says, these are some quotes, slander is a kind of murder. And then he says, whoever removes slander from the world would remove a great part of its sins and injustice as well. I ask you never to slander anyone, either directly or indirectly. Refraining from inputting imaginary faults to your neighbor, from revealing those which are secret, and from exaggerating those which are obvious. So he asks you to refrain from imputing imaginary faults to your neighbor, from revealing those which are secret, and from exaggerating those which are obvious. Now, how many of you know and have done where you know something in secret, and then in perhaps what starts out as a conversation of concern, you decide to tell just one person, the person you're speaking to, somebody else's secret? It's a very, very damaging thing, but we end up revealing the secret because we make that decision. We take the moment where someone says, I'm telling you something in confidence. Now, remember, we as in the psychiatric world or I think even in the priest world, if someone's going to be harmed, if a secret is that someone tells you they're going to go out and kill somebody, you've got to reveal that one. You're doing, of course, we're talking about the general kind of situation here. So the revealing of the secret, if you could help someone from their child being molested, if you know something about someone and you know that it's, let's say they were in jail for something and you know this and you are concerned that someone else is going to be put in harm's way, that's a whole different ball game. I'm talking about your run-of-the-mill, everyday discussions and conversations that people have day in, day out, every day. He goes on to say, there are some who, before actually slandering someone, will say something good about that person. These are the most subtle and venomous of slanderers. Do not generalize from a particular instance. Do not say a certain person is a drunkard because you have seen him drunk once. A single act is not enough to justify such a label. If you are speaking with someone who is truly a slanderer, do not, in order to excuse the behavior, say that the person speaks frankly. Now, this is something I think is a really good thing to hone in on here. Oftentimes, especially now, in 2016, August, we tend to love and elevate frankness, even though we don't even know how to do it anymore. It's kind of like this paradox. At once, it's kind of like going loving the hero. And yet in our own lives, in our own cultures, in our own cities, in our own neighborhoods, we don't set up a situation where we even allow heroism or individuality. So here in this way, we do tend to think, well, they're just telling the truth. And people say that in relationships. And I want to go, when we come back, I want to look at this for the last segment of our show, because oftentimes a form of verbal abuse, emotional abuse, and mental abuse, believe it or not, is done under the cloak and the disguise of speaking frankly. Have you been in that situation? Somebody out there has been in that situation. I know they have, because you tell me about it. Been in the situation where something has been said that is very painful, and yet it's followed with this, well, you want me to be honest, don't you? You want me to be honest? Or you said you want it. Is there a double whammy if someone, let's say a husband has said to their wife, or a wife has said to their husband, I want you to be honest. You know, you just need to be honest with me. Don't lie anymore. And then the husband says something ugly, completely uncalled for, and only done to be used as a weapon, only done to make them insecure, to get one up. And then if the spouse, the wife, complains or says, wait a minute, why did you do that? Well, you want me to be honest, don't you? I just have to say that. Hearing that a lot lately, there's a confusion on how to state your feelings. I just need to say that. It's another thing that I'm hearing more and more lately. People are saying that they're getting this and that it's kind of confusing to them because, yeah, in the one hand, that makes sense. The words themselves make sense. But the feeling behind the words is not one of love. It is meant to hurt, meant to have the one up. So we come back, we're going to talk about what it means to speak frankly and truthfully and yet kindly and lovingly. This is Dr. Michelle. We will see you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. You're with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. 573-4BREAD-4. And you can also email me anytime, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. We are on Breadbox Media. So, before the break, we were talking about the difference between between speaking frankly and verbal or emotional abuse. And that's a really important distinction because, again, the mental abuse, the verbal abuse, the emotional abuse is always the cloak and dagger. It's hidden. It is sleight of hand. It is making your head spin, doing something, quote, for your own good. Let's say looking at something, someone's just getting ready to go out and they've done their hair and they're a little bit insecure about it and it's kind of emanating from them. But let's say they did their hair a certain way and their boyfriend or husband says, oh, well, you know, I know what you were trying to do, but I don't really, I'm just being honest here. You might want to change that a bit. And the person could be just fine. The woman could be just fine. But what's happening now, all those things are not abuse. However, the way, the intention of its delivery is, precedes the words. The person knows inside, because it oftentimes is a habit. And you around that, if it's your mother to your father to your mother, if it's friends, by saying, well, at least they're saying what they mean, or at least they're speaking frankly, as St. Francis de Sales put it, you have to refrain from that kind of thinking. Because hurting someone is never a good thing. If your intention is to get a one-up or to gossip because it feels good, engaging in the game. We don't want to engage in the game as he talks about it. So he goes on to say, he said, when I must speak up about another person, I must do so in a balanced and just a way that I do not utter one word too many. Now that's a really tough thing for most of us to even think about doing or even understanding what that means. What does one word too many mean? But when you must speak up, you do it, you do it in a balanced way. Now, here's what I meant about exercising your relationships and exercising yourself. If you exercise in the little things, if you exercise just a tiny little bit of discipline in the way you speak, in self-awareness in the way you speak, it will grow over time. You will have a transformed mind, a transformed body. If you take cream in your coffee, let's say two tablespoons of cream in your coffee, probably 100 calories, and you just stop your cream in your coffee, over a period of time, with everything else remaining the same, you will lose weight. You're taking a little away at a time. It might be 2 years, might be a year, but you will lose weight just by that tiny little act. And 2 or 3 years down the line, you will be a very different person. You may not even be aware of how you are changing, but you will change. So it's that way in your daily activities. If you're very free and it becomes a food for you, it becomes a fun game, it becomes something that makes you witty. There's a difference between being witty and being cynical, witty and sarcastic. If you're brought up in a family where sarcasm with the little laughter afterward is the rule of the day, it's going to become just your way that you relate to people. But it can be truly, truly hurtful. Children oftentimes don't like sarcasm, little children. And why? Because it's veiled. It's not out there. It's not black and white. It's not simple. They understand in their own childlike way that there's an incongruity there and they don't like it. They're pretty in-your-face creatures. We were pretty in-your-face creatures. Sarcasm hurts because it is a veiled way to get the poison arrow in there. And we don't want that. We don't want to be those deliverers, and we don't want to receive those things. So to try to be balanced, you can do that in your little ways. It doesn't mean you have to be humorless. It doesn't mean that you can't poke fun at yourself. But it means you have to watch this. He says, above all, avoid false accusations and the distortion of truth regarding your neighbors. And again, the distortion of truth. Sometimes gossip will take the form of it, like an infomercial. It'll be as if you're actually giving good, frank information, but you're really trying to sell something. You're trying to sell an enlistment of us against them. You will be my friend now, and we together will try to understand that poor person over there that we really don't relate to. And this is a very common thing, but it's something that you need to grow out of. It's something that once you're aware of it, you need to refrain from a little bit. Because we can go beyond the scope of being honest, go beyond the scope of saying something for their own good. And in that situation, what good is it going to do? If somebody's a dangerous person, that's a different story. But rarely in this realm, we're talking about slander and gossip, rarely is it about danger. And then it wouldn't be gossip, then it really would be informational protection. That's a very important thing. But there's a big spectrum there. And we can go on these witch hunts. And I think when Pope Francis, the article that I quoted in the very beginning, when he's talking, and when he was talking about being careful with what you say, in some respects, no matter what you think, no matter what you agree with or don't agree with, when he says down, you can murder with your tongue and also with a knife. You can incite with your tongue as well as with a match. You can do all that. This is really an important thing to kind of keep in mind. When you start inflaming and inciting with your words, you take a person or a group of people and you forever color their perception. I've seen it happen in many different venues, and I've seen it happen even in the most religious venues. And as St. Francis de Sales says, those particular kinds of situations are sometimes the worst because they are done under the guise of a godly umbrella when it isn't at all. So you have to be very, very careful. He said, there are some who, before actually slandering someone, will also say something good about that person. These are the most subtle and venomous of slanders. We quoted that in the last segment. But remember that. Oftentimes, putting something good, it sets the person up and it sets you up as if you are really being fair and balanced. But it is the most subtle and venomous form of slander because it brings in that poison arrow, the Trojan horse. That's the same thing in the relationships that we touched on in the last segment. In relationships, if you start off getting the person to smile and then you undermine and you cut and you slice that person, that is you're slapping down the innocence. You are causing that person to distrust always. So if you are that person who gets confused because you're in a situation where you get compliments and then you get undermined, and you get compliments and you get undermined, I want you to take a look at that. I want you to think about it for your own self, not just in what you do, but also what are you receiving? Are you receiving that from the outside world? I want you to think about that, open up to it a little bit, because it might be your first step into seeing that your relationship might not be what you're telling yourself it is. And then conversely, I want those of you out there who find that you enjoy a good gossip story, especially before a prayer group, which happens a lot, take a look, just back up a little bit and watch yourself talk the next time you're in a group of people. Watch yourself talk next time you're with your neighbor, your friend, or your sister, or your brother. Just watch yourself and see how often you do it. And that will be your first step to exercising, which will be your first step to change. I am Dr. Michelle. We will see you tomorrow, Dr. Michelle Live. Take care. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.